I'm sorry, listeners, I forgot to start the recording, but there will still be good information for you, even though it's a little shorter than usual. I was in the process of expressing to everyone that blessings can come quickly and suddenly and dramatically, or they can come over a long period of time, slowly and gradually, like the way the nickel around a grain of sand builds up the layers and layers of a pearl. Now, it takes a while to build a pearl. And sometimes it can start with an irritant. And so it's okay if you bring an irritant into the blessing. Many times we do. Many times that's what causes us to pray or to seek a blessing. Something is just irritating us to the core of our being. And perhaps all we get initially from our prayer or a blessing or a kind word from someone is a little bit of soothing spiritual ointment, shall we say, like the kind of to compare to the oyster's mucus that it puts around that tiny grain of sand. It hardens, but it's still an irritant. The little oyster exudes a little more protective covering, a little more, a little more, a little more, and eventually, not too many layers later, we have a pearl. And then it becomes quite amazing to think, how in the world could a grain of sand have turned into this beautiful, gorgeous pearl that I'm holding in my hand? We can think about that in terms of the way diamonds are created. Starts with carbon under huge amounts of pressure. Because we don't always get the idea of how long that pressure had to be there. I think most of the time in our mind we think of this little chunk of carbon, like a hunk of coal, was suddenly put under catastrophic pressure that didn't last that long, which would be equivalent to a lab-created gem, like this immense, sudden, catastrophic pressure, and then the gem is created. But actually, in nature, it doesn't happen that way. In nature, there might have been a sudden, catastrophic shift of, let's say, a platelet on the planet, a geoform of some huge magnitude. But the fact is it pressured upon that hunk of coal for possibly a million years. And if we had had a time clock of that pressure, we would see that there was no sudden incident, no sudden moment when that chunk of coal became the diamond. It succumbed to the pressure, and then more, and then more, and more, and then it would be hard to say the moment when the scales were tipped and it was more transparent than it was opaque, until it became eventually crystal clear. And this is the way blessings accumulate in our life. And I think this is important for you to hear, because what you bring to this blessing may be that little piece of sand that would be in the oyster. The blessing will give you the initial protection that then gives you the courage to go out and seek a friend who gives you another blessing, and then to take a pleasant walk in the woods or have a relaxing day, eat more healthy food, begin to do the quality of life that is an everyday, continuous, and accumulating blessing. Return the next week for a blessing from Christ. Engage in prayer and meditation during the week. Return next Sunday for another prayer and blessing from Christ. And allow it to be like the potter with the clay on the wheel. I can tell you, as a former potter, I took several semesters of pottery in college. When you sit down at the wheel with that big chunk of clay in front of you, all you've got, you're staring at that, it's kind of like a wet, globby rock, in that it's pretty hard, except that you can push against it, and as you wet it with your hands and the wheel turns against it, you begin to, the force, the spinning force, allows you to start shaping it. And if you press against it with both hands, you move it up until it's a little thinner, at which time then you can fold your hands in and begin to create walls. Well, see, that pot wasn't created in 2 seconds. And it wasn't created without some degree of intention, guidance, skill, and accumulated applications of intention. It wasn't an abracadabra application of just a magic wand. Even when Yeshua walked on the earth and he would heal people, he would say, now, rise and go forth and don't continue to do what you were doing that got you in this condition. In other words, the first thing he would say, it is your faith that made you whole. Now, that's very important. I want to repeat that, because he didn't say, it's my faith who made you whole. He didn't say, it's my faith that made you whole, or it's God's faith that made you whole. He said, it's your faith that made you whole. You see, your faith is your first application of intention, and perhaps a little bit of effort to show up and receive, and to receive with a bit of intention. And that intention could be as simple as, whatever is given by the power of God, I receive. Let it work upon me by the will of God to bring the very best that is possible for me now. You see, that's like if I were the potter sitting down in front of the wheel, that's like if I wet my hands and started pedaling the wheel and I put my hands to the wheel. I have no idea what I'm going to create. And actually, it's a kind of co-creation between my hands, the wheel, the pressure of my hands, and the type of clay that's there. Porcelain will work against your hands very different from stoneware or other types of earthenware, the red pottery, the clay pot, the gray pottery, the mixtures of pottery, the fine bone china. It's all different. It's all different. It takes a sense of touch in order to bring this about. And it's rather miraculous the way you can turn a lump of earth into a beautiful, beautiful, useful clay dish. And I think this is why that metaphor has so frequently been used. But unfortunately, it's become a little bit of a cliche to people who don't understand the actual dynamics of how it's done. It's not just an automatic process. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, the potter has to stop the actions and let the clay sit for a minute. It has to allow what they've created to become a little firm in that shape, because you don't want the walls to collapse. This could be comparable to saying, okay, let's say you're getting a blessing. I think I've taken in all I can take in right now, because I could turn into somebody nobody recognizes. I want people around me to know and understand that what I'm doing is to make my life better. I'm not changing in order to threaten them or leave their life. Sometimes you have to just stop even a good thing because change can get to be too much. Have you ever noticed that you could even be, let's say, doing your favorite hobby and get so carried away you forget to cook dinner? And then the family thinks you've abandoned them, and now they resent your hobby, whereas they thought it was a good thing before. So sometimes we have to apply moderation even to the best of things so that we can find a place for it in our life, and our life and it become intertwined. This is even true making the clay wheel, the clay pot. And after you've made the clay pot, even then, when it's perfect, it's perfect. It has to be fired, or it could easily be broken. And I would put that into a comparison of, okay, you've created the life you want. You've had your epiphany. You've really seen that it's possible to have this in your life. Now, you've got to put it into the fire of real life experience. This is the next step of faith. It's not enough to just see this in meditation or in blessing or in the protective covering of your friends who see it also with you. You got to go out in life. Got to make it happen. You survive that fire, and then you have a vessel that will hold water. And the first firing isn't even enough. There's a second firing, and that's the firing that, after the first firing, you put on the glaze. The glaze is the finishing touch. That's where you really claim what you've achieved, and you say, yes, this is who I am. I can do it. I can do it. I'm doing it. And it goes back into the fire again. If I were going to compare this to my experience of first receiving the presence of Yeshua, he came into my world. And we created the lamb and the lion. We had a conversation. And only my closest confidants knew about it. I didn't dare share it with anyone else. And then even after the painting was complete, for 4 years I didn't tell anyone else what I did. Because I was letting, you might say, the jar that was created cure out naturally. It was in the curing room. It wasn't up to being fired yet. It had to be put in the cold room. It had to be cured for a little while to know that it was firm. In the meantime, I was exhibiting the lamb and the lion. And then the vase was solid in the curing room. It was ready to go into the first firing. Well, this is when I came in front of the first audience to share, originally, live, the messages of Yeshua. I was feeling my way into that faith, into that confidence, into that certainty. And every step of the way, I was being made more certain, stronger, and more able to be with people, in front of people, and the people around me were learning that this is really who I was. I had not just fallen off the deep end because of some sudden epiphany, but I had really made this my life. I was comfortable with it, and I was willing to allow it to serve not only my life, but the life of others. I survived the first round of firing. Came out with such certainty and strength, I was ready to glaze the pot and go into the final round of firing, which was Love Without End. The book came out, and it went to the world. So when I'm telling you about these things, these are not euphemisms. These are not cliches. These are steps of faith made whole. Steps of faith cultivated through application that I've lived through. My friends, I know how it works. When Yeshua first came to me in 2010, and he asked me if I wanted to have some relief from pain, he took my feet, and the pain went away. That was the, I said, of course I said yes. That was my first act of faith. And then I received it. That was my second act of faith. And after the pain went away, touching my feet, he said, now stand up. That was my second act of faith. You see, I had to integrate these various acts of faith into my life. And that sometimes takes a little courage. But your courage can also be monitored with reason, moderation, and appropriateness. We have the courage to apply our faith, but we apply it in a way that really allows for the building of confidence. I didn't stand on my feet with my weakened hips and then go run a mile. I simply stood on my feet and noticed the pain was all gone. And then he helped me further, and I could walk better. And then he helped me further, and I could stand all day. And then he helped me further, and I was able to go through surgery and heal almost, in record time. And then he helped me further, and I went through physical therapy in record time. And now I can run. I literally can run now. So these are the steps of faith. We can use many analogies, but faith eventually has to be applied. So it's time to receive. It's time to open yourself up in your heart. Pray. It's okay if all you feel is the pain, if the loneliness, the hurt, the need. That's the grain of sand that activates your faith. And perhaps you will just receive the first time a little bit of comfort. But that gives you faith to take the next level and the next level and the next level, knowing that more comfort will be given, more assistance will be given, because we live in a universe that is governed by the good law of God. And that is when we apply our faith, we are comforted. When we ask, we receive. And that which is given to us by God is good. It heals us insofar as we're ready to receive and ready to apply. And so we are here for you. Now, with many more blessing givers than I, and I ask them all to join me in giving a blessing this week. I'm so sorry that our call last week was intercepted by some confusion of operation. I could not be on at the podium conducting it in front of the audience and also be on the laptop. And our moderator on the laptop was using a different laptop, not mine, that didn't have all the bells and whistles on it. And so the blessing was given. I hope you had the faith to just be there and receive, because it was a very powerful blessing given by new, totally enthusiastic blessing givers. And I ask them again to join me this week. Let's do it again together for everyone and for the world. And let's stand in our faith, in our strength, giving our courage and our knowledge of the power of applied faith. And for everyone who's about to receive, I would ask that you remove your shoes and socks. Have your feet on the ground that the earth may offer to you also. Be seated comfortably with the top of your head open to the cosmos that the sun and the heavens may give to you also. Allow your mind to just relax. I always say, sit it on a park bench and let it enjoy nature for which it is part. And allow your attention to fall into your heart, that you may simply be there with the God of your being, expressing your needs, your hopes, your desires, your joys in the center of your heart as you would be one with God. Pray in whatever manner is comfortable for you, whether it's verbally, in thought, in feeling, in song, aloud or quietly, whatever prayer is to you, begin your prayer. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and as soon as I'm complete, the blessing givers and I will begin our blessing. Your blessing is a conveyance of the energy that is the energy of life, and it will be poured to you without condition, without limitation, to be received as your heart, soul, and the presence of God within you so determine. It is not through our intention that the blessing be given, simply that the intentions of love and the power of the Holy Spirit offer all that you can receive. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you have brought all of these new blessing givers to amplify the blessings you are offering to this earth and to humanity and to all of life. Thank you for joining us in our heart. And thank you for ennobling our soul and lifting it far beyond the limitations of our body, that it may seek for our life all of the opportunities of love, of joy, and healing that exist in our world and beyond. We ask now that the power of the Holy Spirit be with us and pass through us for the benefit of our lives and all the lives we touch. Amen. the conveyance of blessing is complete. Now I would ask you to go and rest for 7 minutes and assimilate this precious energy and love that has been given to you. Allow it to travel into every cell and chamber of your being, body, heart, and soul. I look forward to being with you again next week. In the meantime, know how much you are loved. God loves you, and we love you. Bye-bye.